Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Taj Mahal was built in 1632. It took 20,000 people, 20-some years to complete. And it consists of several main elements. There's a gateway. There is a mosque, a mausoleum, and some people consider it one of the most beautiful structures in the world. This complex, this building has a purpose. It was created for a reason, and its creator spent over a year planning before a single stone was laid. In his mind, he knew what path would have to be followed from inception to completion in order for his plan to be realized. He knew what it would take to prepare that path so those that came along behind him to do the work would be able to do so. And here's probably the most important point that I'd like to make. Its purpose was preconceived. It wasn't built and then assigned a reason. It was assigned a reason before it was ever built. In our gospel passage today, we hear about a purpose of Jesus. Starting in verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went all throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is God's word. See, Jesus was sent for a purpose. And that has been our message here for several months. For Advent, we discussed Jesus coming through sinners for sinners. And just after Christmas, Pastor spoke about the perfect timing of Christ's birth. A few weeks ago, we read the opening verses of Mark, and we learned how John came to prepare the way for Jesus. So now, the gospel, Mark's gospel, begins to unpack what that means. To unpack what it really means that Jesus came here, what he came here to do. He came to proclaim the kingdom of God to the Jews. And he came to bring forgiveness of sins for all who would believe. And the outwardly sign of that forgiveness, it was physical healing. But he came as a doctor for the soul. And as we travel with him in this gospel, we'll read about his focus on Jerusalem. We'll walk with him as he makes his way towards that city where he'll accept the punishment for our sins and hand over his life on the cross. And then at Easter, we'll celebrate his resurrection, his victory over death. See, this was Jesus' purpose, and there was nothing accidental about it. It's like the Taj Mahal. His purpose was pre-planned. His path was prepared. His timing was perfect. Nothing was left to chance. It was crystal clear to him why he was on earth. And in obedience, he accepted his purpose and he fulfilled it perfectly. Now we know this. We accept this. We believe this. So why do I even bring it up? Because when it comes to Jesus, we don't question God's plans for him. We don't question what might have happened if he chose not to heal that person on the Sabbath, or if he chose not to reply to the Pharisees in the way that he did. We know that God's plan that he was executing through Jesus would not be hindered. It would not be obstructed. There'd be no way that Jesus would escape God's judgment for our sins. We know this. We accept this. We believe it. So why bring it up? Because when it comes to us, it all falls apart. We fail to really, truly believe that God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. We read that. We reference it in our conversations. But do we believe it? Do we really believe it? See, at the same time that God had a plan for Jesus, His Son, He also had a plan for us. At the same time that God knew why Jesus would be born, why He would send Him down to earth, He knew all that about us. And think about the implications of this truth claim. If you believe what Ephesians says, that God chose us before the foundation of the world, I mean, if you really believe what God says about you in that verse, then there's no way that you could have not been born. You were not some luck of some random seed. You were pieced together intentionally by God. And you were placed in the womb by God. And nothing would stop God's plan for your birth. But it's not your birth that was God's end goal. It's like the Taj Mahal. Once the ground was prepared, the work wasn't over. It had only just begun. And our work, our purpose began the day that we were born. Our journey began the day that we were baptized. And what is that purpose? Well, for Paul, it was to preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Those are Paul's words. And he had a clear understanding of his purpose. He was to preach, not just for the sake of preaching, but to turn others towards Jesus. He writes, to the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. This was God's purpose for Paul. This was God's reason for creating Paul. And there was nothing accidental about it. There was no way that Paul could have not been born. Paul understood his purpose. He understood his reason for being. And like Jesus, he was laser focused on completing that purpose. Now, he wasn't perfect. He didn't make all of the right decisions. But his conversion story is a comfort to each one of us, knowing that even we can't mess up the plans that God has for us. But what about us? What's our purpose? It's the same. It's to preach the gospel, but not necessarily in that narrow sense. He doesn't call all men to be a pastor. He doesn't call everyone to become a door-to-door evangelist. But he does call everyone to love him and love others. He calls everyone to serve each other in selflessness. Not just by volunteering our time and our treasures to feed the hungry and to house the homeless, but in everything that we do, in every place that we find ourselves. You see, we preach the gospel by our actions. We do this at our workplace when we treat each other honestly, fairly, and respectfully. We do this in our homes when we teach our children about Christ and when we model for them what it means to love God and love others. We do this with ourselves when we devote time to being in the Word, individually and in groups. You see, this is our purpose. This is why God placed us here, in this community, at this time, in this family, with this job, and these friends. It was no accident. None of this is coincidental. All of this is God's divine plan, and He invites us to participate in it. He invites us to call out to Him in prayer, to ask Him to show us our purpose, not just for our entire lives, but for every moment in between. We just have to ask Him to help us see each one of these moments. See, God knows our purpose for every moment of every day. Do we? Let us pray. God, you have formed us from the dust of the earth and have placed us here to glorify you. At times, we forget why we were sent, and at times we even rebel and reject our mission. Forgive us and help us stay focused on preaching the gospel to everyone we meet in every way that you ask us to do. Keep us laser focused on that which you would have us do, and give us the strength and endurance until the end. In your name we pray. Amen.